Wonderful. Thanks, Lenore. That was amazing. I have the privilege this morning of preaching to us and preaching to myself too at the same time. And so if you could turn to Philippians 1 verse 1 please this morning. We've had some prophetic words. We've had this amazing presentation of what God is doing in our city, in and through us. And this morning is, if there's anything we want to take away from this morning, it will be teamwork. Teamwork, how God calls us to team. He calls us together to do things, to do amazing things, to do wonderful things. And he calls us to do it as one, as his church. So we go to Philippians 1 verse 1. The title of this morning's preach is Apostolic Christianity. Maybe a word that you've heard kind of thrown around before, and this morning I'd like to almost give us a bit of a definition of what we mean when we talk about apostolic Christianity. A lot of the words that have come out this morning, the prophetic words, actually relate to what it means when we talk about apostolic Christianity. What does it mean to be apostolic? It means to go to the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but not just to go, but to do it in a specific way. And that specific way is to do it together, which we will unpack this morning. So Philippians 1 verse 1 reads like this. We see it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you, thank you, Shan, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So we can see there's a relationship that Paul and Timothy have with this church in Philippi, a church where he is always praying for them. He remembers them. He's filled with joy when he thinks about them and when he prays for them because of their partnership in the gospel. What we see in the scripture is four sets of people. When you look at the first line, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. So Paul and Timothy are writing to the church in Philippi. Interestingly, often when we quote the New Testament, the letters of Paul, we say Paul writes and he says this and he says that. Interestingly, many of them are written from Paul and Timothy, or Paul and Silas. Even the book of Romans, you'll see later, it's from Paul, but he says that it's Tertius helped him write the book. Silas sometimes helps him write the book. So if you think about this, the writing of the New Testament, scripture being put together was a team effort. It was a team effort. It wasn't just a handful of guys. It was a community. There were guys who had the function of leading that community in certain ways, or function of leading a team, as Paul led a team, a translocal team, which we will get into in a few moments, discuss that. But you go look through those introductions, or you go look through those letters, and you, instead of just reading about the doctrine, which we should do, but also just try and uncover the relational dynamics that take place, and you find some amazing things. You see a love for each other, a real, real love, a real partnership, and you'll see a real team forming. You see, it wasn't just Paul doing his thing. It's not as if Paul channeled the Holy Spirit and wrote these letters, but this was something that the community put together. There was a team effort, even in the writing of Scripture. And so we see Paul and Timothy, who call themselves servants of Christ Jesus, write to three groups of people. The first group of people they write to is to the saints. To the saints. The highest order of life in the kingdom are the saints. Who are the saints? You and I, every single believer. Every believer is a saint, according to the scriptures. That's how the scriptures define the word saint. I don't know your background, but that's how the scriptures define the word saint. So leaders are not more important than the saints. The saints are essentially God's A-team. You are God's A-team. We all are God's A-team. His plan and his purposes in this world will be unraveled through us, through his Holy Spirit working through us. There are no space for superstars in the kingdom of God. There may be different functions And so 1 Corinthians 12 was read out this morning. When Ryan came up and read that from the prayer meeting, we all have a part to play. And even the littlest part should play their part. There are many different functions in the kingdom of God, but there are no superstars. There is one A team, and that's God's team called the saints. So they write to the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. And so we see that the overseers are essentially, it's the same word for elders. It's the governmental leadership office. The function of elders in a church is to provide governmental leadership into that community. Best done in a plurality, a team. All right, it's a team effort. And 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, if you want to write those scriptures down, will give you the qualifications for elders, which refers only to males, and they lead together with their wives. And each elder serves a different function, and one of those functions is a leader, which Marcus serves in this church. And then he will also write to the deacons, which is a non-governmental leadership office, which are people who lead ministries, home groups in our context, all sorts of ministries, children's ministry, and that kind of thing. And those qualifications you'll find in 1 Timothy 3. So we can see that a team writes to a team. A team, Paul and Timothy writes to a team, the overseers and the deacons in the church. Can you see God's, I'm trying to unpack how God works. He works in and through us together. United, doing stuff, being a partner with each other in the gospel. And Paul and Timothy call themselves servants. Paul and Timothy see themselves as that function, serving that community. So we're looking at servant leadership is what they're beginning to uncover here. Proper servant leadership, not the kind that the corporates sometimes say we do servant leadership and they don't, or the politicians, right? Proper servant leadership. And so Paul and Timothy, and so what I'm doing this morning is I want to preach it, but I can't help but also teach it because we have to understand a few details here that this is the way God intends his local church to function. And Paul and Timothy aren't a part of that church in Philippi, yet they have a relationship with that church in Philippi. And they are what we call a translocal team, or an apostolic team, which we will read about Ephesians 4. So we can see that there's a team outside of the church speaking to the team in the church, and they have this relationship together, and we have the similar thing that we have with what we call New Covenant Ministries International, NCMI. But what I want to cover here is that a New Testament Christianity practices covenant relationships in partnership with this gospel. So when we talk about apostolic Christianity, we're talking about going to the nations or going to your neighborhood or going to your workplace or going to your university or going to your school or going into your family, which sometimes does feel like going into. I've got to go into this family do we doing today, right? Sometimes. Going there with the gospel, but doing things in covenant relationships with each other. It's a very specific way of going. We don't want to just send a missionary. We don't want to just send a church planter. We don't want to just send you into your workplace every day to the wolves. Good luck. Maybe you have some money, you have some support, you have my prayers. But we want to do things together. And as a church, together equip each other so we can go into our workplaces, so we can go to the nations. So the first definition of apostolic Christianity I want to give today is that it's a covenant team fulfilling the mandate of going to the nations. The gospel is a gospel of team. If you could go to Ephesians 2 in your Bibles, I'm going to go there next. But the gospel is a gospel of team. The gospel is a gospel that breaks down walls.
Scripture talks about walls of hostility that have been broken down between us because Jesus Christ broke them down through his death and his resurrection. The gospel is a gospel that brings people together, unites us to God in relationship with him, and unites us to each other in reconciled relationship with each other. So we can see why Paul talks about a partnership in the gospel. It's a gospel of peace that we partner with God with and with each other. Jesus died for all, no exception. There's no one who's badder than the next person that Jesus didn't die for. There's no one who's a bigger sinner. There's no one whose socioeconomic background disqualifies them. There's no one whose family background disqualifies them. Jesus died for all. He was raised for all. He was raised for you. And he calls us all. No exception. If he died for you, if he was raised for you, he has called you. You see that? Some of us agree, okay, Jesus died for me, I'll accept that. I accept his forgiveness. I understand the resurrection means I will be raised to life one day. But he doesn't call me. He calls those guys, all those guys. He's got nothing for me. If he died for you, he was raised for you, he has called you. He has gifted you, he has anointed you. He has a part for you to play in the church and through the church to your workplace, to the nations of the world, to whatever. But he has it for you. There is no exception whatsoever in Christ. And this is a partnership in the gospel of Jesus. All right? It's not a partnership in our ideas, our philosophies, our meetings, our whatever else. It's a partnership in the gospel. Right, Romans 1 says the gospel is the power of salvation. The message we're bringing to the world is the gospel. Not our ideas, not our politics, not our thoughts, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for you, and through simple faith and trust in him, you step into relationship with him and you receive eternal life. When he died on that cross, he died for the sins of the whole world, and he crushed Satan and the spiritual powers. That's what it tells us. The scripture tells us. We had this word this morning about us being able to crush the enemy in our lives. He brought defeat to the enemy on the cross. One day the enemy will be completely destroyed. But in your life, as you enter into faith, trust in Jesus, it's all you need to do. And if you've never done that, it's all you need to do this morning. Say, Jesus, I trust you. And I accept your forgiveness of my sins. That's it. And you enter into his kingdom life, into eternal life, where one day you'll be raised to life. But now you also live in victory. He brings healing to your mind, to your soul, and even to your body. If not in fullness, in part, because one day he will raise us up in fullness. But he brings it. He brings his power into our lives. He changes things. He crushes the enemy in our lives. And we could do it because of his Holy Spirit in us. Through simple faith and trust in Jesus, it's free. It costs us nothing. And he brings change. So, we are one. God has made us one in his kingdom, regardless of where we come from. And we all share a lived encounter with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of the Bible. Right, the Holy Spirit that was given to the apostles in the Bible is the same Holy Spirit poured out to you and I. There's no change. It's not a different spirit. That's why we say if we see what things there, that's what we can expect for ourselves. Right, that's why we say it. It's not difficult. It's no confusion there. The same Spirit given then, the same Spirit given to you today. So what we saw they could do, you can do. What we saw happen with them, we can expect for ourselves. Yes, we live in a different context. We have technology and all this other stuff. Yet we saw God brought victory for them. He has brought victory throughout history, and he will bring victory again. Regardless of how you're feeling today, you're feeling all sorts of things crashing down on you, whether it's personal or you read the news and you feel like some crazy stuff's going on, God will bring victory. His kingdom is sure. It's established. Right, I was reading the book of Daniel yesterday. If you don't know this, Daniel, go read it tomorrow. Daniel 2. Right, the vision of all these kingdoms built into the statue, and God carves out the stone that rolls these kingdoms and crushes them. It's his kingdom that will stand over the kingdoms of this world. It is His authority that will stand over everything coming against us. And His victory is sure. It's for you. You can have it today. Accept and trust Him and walk in trust with Him. Sorry, I'm probably speaking a bit fast. So we have an encounter, a shared encounter, all of us with the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And this brings us together. Paul talks about one Spirit, one baptism, one faith. So we share that together, and that sharing of that together brings us together into covenant relationships, relationships where we love each other, as the Bible tells us to love each other, not functional relationships. We serve different functions because of our call, but our relationships with each other is love and friendship. You see the distinction there? Well, our hope and dream is for this church, for the churches of the world that we work with, that we would be in covenant relationship, not functional relationship. Not just bring your gift, but bring yourself. And we'll get to know you, and you'll get to know us. So we share our relationships with each other, and we all share the same call in God, the apostolic call to go to the nations and bring this gospel and this kingdom, to go wherever we go and to bring this gospel and this kingdom. And we all share the same values. Some of us are a little further along in understanding the values of the Bible and having practiced those, but we share those values. And this is why when we get saved, God says we're made new people. We adopt new values, the kingdom values that we read about in the scripture. We don't mix values. We don't mix the world's values, and we don't mix God's values. We adopt His values and work into that. So why am I bringing that up? I'm bringing that up to show that how we view the church is important. Once you can understanding of how it is that we do things and what are the things are that we share, you can begin to uncover something of your call in God in this thing. For the theologians, I've written, our ecclesiology essentially creates and fosters our relationships and our unity, which is why we're talking about this today. And these four things that I mentioned that we share, an encounter with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our relationships, our apostolic call, and our values are a way of defining what I mean when I talk about apostolic Christianity. These are the things that we take into the world. I hope that makes sense. Our relationships are paramount, even when we disagree. See, theology is not everything. I'm a theological guy. I like to read theology on Friday nights because it relaxes me, okay? So I really think theology is a good thing. But theology is not everything. You can know the Bible but not practice the Bible. We've got to have theology and practice, doctrine and practice. And sometimes practice comes before doctrine. When you got saved, you didn't know everything, right? But yet God still saved you. He didn't wait for you to know everything. You experience it first, and then you catch up. And that's often how it is. We have to love first before I know why I should love, right? We have to do first sometimes before we know why we're doing. We have to go first sometimes before we know why we had to go. We have to sometimes, probably at least 75 or 80 or 90% of the time, take the risk first and see what God does. And so if God's got a call on your life, or He's calling you to go somewhere, and together as a church, there are many places we want to go, which I will uncover later in this little preach, but there are many things that God wants us to do. Sometimes we've got to do them first and maybe ask a few less questions. How, God, are you going to work this out? What about my money? I feel you called me to Singapore, Lord, but how the heck am I going to get to Singapore? I work as a teller at Pick and Pay, right? How the heck are you going to do that? Well, trust Him. Talk about it. Bring it to the church. Speak to the elders. You know what I mean? Put faith in Him and trust in Him. Take some steps forward first and let God work it out. I hope that's encouraging. And leads into this first thing that I want to say is that every believer should have an apostolic heart. That's the apostolic heart I'm talking about. I go, I just take risks, I believe, I trust God because I want to bring this message and I want to bring God's love somehow to people, some way. Right? It's in my heart, it lives in my heart. It's not a theology, it's not an idea, it's something I do. It's something that lives in my heart. The gospel is the power of salvation not our programs or ideas. It's not complicated. Ephesians 2 says, "For through him, Jesus, we both," he's talking Jews and Gentiles, yeah, so in other words, "we both, wherever you come from, all of us, have access in one spirit," again, "to the Father." We've all encountered that spirit. And listen to this heart. Think about this for your church. If you are part of Cornerstone, you are part of Cornerstone. You don't just attend here. There's nothing worse when someone says, "Do you attend church?" No, I don't attend church, right? I attend other things. Maybe I attend a rally or something, but I don't attend church. I'm part of this church. So encouragement is to take ownership of this church. And think about this. "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens." Isn't that just an amazing thing to think about for your church? People who come here are not strangers or aliens. And that we want to welcome them and make them not feel like they're strangers and aliens. But you are fellow citizens. A citizen has rights. A citizen has authority. A citizen belongs where they belong. Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We belong in his house. The fridge is open. And when no one's looking, take a swig from the milk rather than pouring into a glass, right? I don't do that. The fridge is open in God's household and it's available to you. You're a member of God's household. Make a sandwich. He's giving it all to us together. We're on the same team. Built on the foundation, verse 20, of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, in my mind, I imagine almost like a body with all these kind of things flying towards it, the skin, and okay, it's probably a bit of a graphic image, but the skin and the bones all kind of coming together, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So we also grow together. No one is kind of like better than the other because we are growing together, right? Grows together into a holy temple in the Lord. The word holy means set apart for God's purposes. So we grow together, set apart for God, for his purposes, a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in him you also are being built together. You also today sitting here are being, or online, are being built together with us. With even the churches we have across this world, which I'll get to in a moment, are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Jesus is the cornerstone of this beautiful vision. And we see him talking about being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That means many things. Theologically, it means that we are built on the doctrine and what the apostles taught, which they got from Jesus, right? It means that we're built on that. We're built on the foundation that they set. But also for today, it means that we are a prophetic people. What does it mean to be a prophetic person? You might say, I've never given a word of prophecy in my life. You might actually be surprised that maybe you have, but you might say, I've never done that. Right? But to be prophetic means that we see Christ. We see him. And we see where he's going. The wind blows where it pleases, says the scripture. And our job is to see where the wind's blowing and to get on board with that wind and go there. Right? And that's what it means to be apostolic. We go. We get on board with God's wind, with his Spirit. We see Jesus as our vision. We see his kingdom. We see what he's about. We see the values he's about. We see what he wants to do in this world. We understand that he is working this thing through. He is working his light. He's crushing the darkness wherever he goes. The kingdom is holding back, pushing back the darkness. Wherever we are the light of God. And so we understand, we see something of that. We see it more and more as we grow. That's what it means to prophetic. I see it, and then apostolic, I do it. I know where we're going. I know what Jesus is about, or I have a pretty good idea. Apostolic, I will do it. And I go, and I do what he's commanded and instructed us to do. made to fish, commissioned to go. God's heart. We know. We see it. We do it. That's what it means to be apostolic and prophetic. And then just as a church, for unity, we also practice this. Ephesians 4, from verse 11. It says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds," which is also the pastors, "and the teachers for building," verse 12, "to equip the saints," you and I, all of us, "for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ," all of us, "until we all attain to the unity of the faith," brings us together, "and of the knowledge of the Son of God." Knowledge is knowing Christ intimately, not just having ideas, but knowing him personally. "To mature manhood," see the goal there, is to mature manhood, "to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." It's kind of like what Barry was talking about this morning, the fullness of Christ. "So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves," the waves come against us, "tossed to and fro by these waves that you probably feel today, the waves of economic trouble, the waves of politics, the waves of ideas and philosophies, the waves of weird, strange doctrines maybe are irritating you today or confusing you, the waves of family trouble, the waves of life's struggles and difficulties, "but we will no longer be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine." See how important that is, "but by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way, not some ways, in every way, into him who is the head, into Christ. From whom the whole body," all of us part of this body, "joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped." In other words, every part must play its part, the smallest to the greatest, joins this thing together when you play your part. I suffer when you don't play your part. If you don't fulfill the call God has on your life, I suffer. Maybe I don't know how I suffer. I don't know how I miss out, but I do. And likewise, the same for you. He joins this whole thing together when every joint, it plays its part with which it is equipped. So we see the church is to equip you in the call that God has for your life. All the gifts are needed, including yours, when each part is working properly. It's a healthy body when each part works properly, right? It makes the body grow even more so that it builds itself up in love. It's a body that has the right nutrition. So we can see that it says here, right at the beginning, that he gave us the apostles, the prophets, and evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to help us do that. And we call that a translocal team. And I'm going to get into some practicalities there for a second. But what I want to say to you is if this team that God calls, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, come to our churches to equip us to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, that means that God has called you to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and pastor. Right? He has called you. There's something of that calling. Maybe you won't be a full-time pastor, but there's something of that on you. Maybe you won't be one of these guys, prophets who go around, you like amazing. But there's something of that on you that he's calling you into. Teaching, evangelism, is something of that on you that he's calling you to. He's a good catch-all sort of definitions of a call. Doesn't have to be very prescriptive. Doesn't have to look a specific way or a specific style, but there's something God has for you to do in your church and through your church that relates to this, that he's equipping you for. So as a church, we see that these gifts are gifts given to God, and so we want them. so that we can also be equipped and grow, which is why we partner with New Covenant Ministries International, NCMI, for short. The translocal team, and to be translocal means that I work through my church into the nations and the other churches. That's why we use the word translocal. And so this might be a bit technical, but we don't partner with an itinerant team. We don't partner with a bunch of guys who travel around, right? We partner with guys who work through their local churches, under the accountability of their churches and those elders in their churches, into us, and likewise we do the same into them. So the translocal team, made up of Ephesians 4:11 gifts and functioning with an apostolic prophetic heart, works with local churches to equip the saints for the work of the ministries we just read, to build us up in love, to create and foster unity, to create partnership and love between churches and leaders, and bring us all to maturity and to encourage us to go beyond. That's why Marcus loves going beyond. He's also a part of that team. Always talking about it, encouraging us to go beyond with that pioneering heart. We're encouraged to have a pioneering heart in Christ, whether it's to go and plant churches or whether it is to pioneer in your field, your work field, whatever the case may be, you are called to pioneer. You are called to lead. You are called to break new ground. Built into you as new creations in Christ. Back at Genesis 1, he says, go and multiply, take dominion of the earth. Built into humankind is this thing to pioneer and to develop and to make and create even beautiful things. Now you are a new creation. How much more has he built it into you to do things like that? I hope that makes sense. I didn't go too far off the left there, but so our position at Cornerstone, this is to set you at ease in terms of our accountability as a church. Some of you know this stuff, some of you have never heard this stuff. Okay, there's lots of different people here in different places. So this is just to set you at ease so you know how we work as a church. As a church, we are partner with a team, as I said, NCMI, who to us represents the Paul and Timothy in our lives. Right, the servants of Christ that we read in Ephesians 1. And some of us on this eldership team also have the privilege of serving on that team, that NCMI team. So our position at Cornerstone is that we want to teach this apostolic heart. And our vision is to know Christ, be prophetic, and to make him known, apostolic. And practically, we partner with NCMI, which is led by Tyra and Nicole Daniel. I think there's a picture for them, if you don't mind putting them up. Tyra and Nicole Daniel are based in Denver in the U.S. at Redemption City Church, and they lead the NCMI team, which is based all over the world in about 80 different countries, people on the team that he leads. We are accountable to Tyra and Nicole Daniel. There are three couples as a church we've chosen on that team to be accountable to and to speak into us as a church. So we have a closer relationship with these three couples. The first is Tyron and Nicole at Redemption City Church in Denver. You could see, even though he leads the NCMI team, he is in a church under the accountability of those elders in that church. He planted that church, but he's no longer an elder in that church because he just functions on this team now. The other couple is Richard and Zelda Preston. Okay, their photos are there. Storehouse Church in PE. And the other couple is Grant and Sue Crawford. We're based at One Life Church in Cape Town. So if anything goes wrong with this eldership team, these are the guys. Take a photo. These are the guys you're calling. Okay. You might not have a relationship with them, but you can call these guys. All right. And then also what we do is we believe in planting. We plant churches nationally, internationally, and we plant sites to reach our city of Johannesburg. We are doing what we believe we should do. We're being apostolic. We're going. We're taking risks, big risks sometimes, financial risks even sometimes. We're taking risks, doing what we believe God's told us to do. It's a means to be apostolic, and you are a part of that. That's just not the elders doing their thing. That is your church. Your church is planting sites all over the city. Those sites are part of your church. You can take ownership of those things too. Go visit. Go be there. Go encourage those leaders. Go and visit there on a Sunday. And those guys online, you could do the same. If you're from another site, come visit us as well. Right? We've got to have this intermingling of our sites. And yeah, are some of the regions that we work into as a church. So what I want to do in these last few minutes is to encourage your faith. I'm going to read out a list, and it'll be on the screen as well, of places and regions we work into as a church. And I want to encourage your faith and say, will you come with? Maybe some of these regions God has put on your heart. Maybe you had a dream about Singapore one day. You didn't know what it meant. And you're like, I'd like to just get to Singapore and see what God does. Right? Maybe that's what he does to you. Have faith and trust him that he will. And then have faith and trust him that he'll get you there and speak to us about it so we can see how we can together make something happen. So you've probably mostly read them, but I'll read them out anyway. South Africa, obviously. We work into the Eastern Cape, the Western Cape, into KZN, and into the Northern Cape, Upington. Most of you guys, yeah, at Bedview would have met the couple from Upington. Was it last week? Week before, an eldership there. The doors are open. Anytime you can go visit Upington. I promise you someone will make a plan for you, a place for you to stay. I'm making a promise on their behalf, maybe. Okay? But still, the doors are open there. So Lesotho, we want to go to Lesotho next year. 2-3 trips, Barry? 4 trips into Lesotho next year. It's close by. Mozambique, we want to work into more next year. We work into Tanzania, as well as into Kenya, into Ethiopia, into New Zealand, into Australia, into Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, Taiwan, the UK. This morning, Shannon and my family, Phil and Sam, my brother-in-law, they are basically planting their church this morning. They're having their first meeting after a few starts that didn't happen due to COVID. So pray into that this morning. And they would love encouragement. They're having that about 2 p.m. today. Ireland, Netherlands, Italy, Portugal, France, Lance and Tanya, you could go visit them, those of you who know them. The UAE, mostly Abu Dhabi, Canada, and the USA, where Marcus has gone to right now. So this is a gospel we take to the world. Not just a few people, but all of us. So I want to encourage your faith this morning to see this, to say, maybe I can go too. Maybe something God has for me too. Maybe I can even plant a church. Maybe there's something God has for me. Let me step out and take a risk. I hope that's encouraging. So the 3 challenges for you this morning are to stay informed, recognize the importance of this outward focus from Scripture, and stay in touch with the work we're doing as a church. Ask questions. Maybe even open doors yourself into nations that God has put on your heart. Go yourself. It's what Jesus instructed his disciples to do, and he instructs us to do. He gave them the same Holy Spirit to do it. He's given us the same Spirit to do it. And as well as give your time, your talents, and even your treasures to the things that we do. And pray. Pray. And when you hear about a trip, 4 Lesotho trips, if you can't go, keep it in your prayers. I hope that's been encouraging this morning. Great. Thank you, Ryan. And would you pray for us?
Father, we thank you for the word that Ryan shared with us this morning, Lord God. We thank you that we are part of such a wonderful team and a group of churches who are part of an apostolic team that are sharing your word with the world, Lord God. Father, we pray that as we go out, you would lead us, you would guide us, and that you would grow us in that. Thank you, Father. So if you are here for the first time and you are present this morning, we would love to meet you and get to know you. At the back, there will be the lounge. And for those who are online, if this is your first time, All the details for the church will be on the website. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Trust you enjoyed it. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Cheers.